Thank you. All right. How's everyone doing? Good, good, good. Well, as Pastor Jacques said, we just finished our encounter weekend. We had a weekend to really press into God, and it was just awesome, the things that happened, and I know we're going to have some great testimonies. So why don't we stand for a moment? I want to just open in prayer before we get started this morning. Amen. Father, we come before you this morning, and we thank you for this great opportunity we have to gather together and to fellowship and to hear your word and to worship. Lord, I pray that we'd have eyes to see and ears to hear, Holy Spirit, what you're saying to us today that will never be the same after today, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so this morning, if you'll be seated, we're going to look at a few things here in the Word of God. I'm going to start in Acts chapter 2. Actually, we're going to start in Acts 25, actually. I'm going to change it up a little bit. Acts chapter 25. So turn there in your Bibles. So we just had this wonderful encounter weekend. Many of us, there was 30 plus the instructors, 9 instructors, teachers. We just pressed into God over the weekend, had some great encounters with God. I know we have a few testimonies that I wanted to, have a few people come up and share just before we press into God's word this morning. Paul has a testimony. Paul, if you wanted to come up for a moment, just share what God has done in your life. Well, we'll keep it short because I got to preach.
Keep it short, yeah. Praise God. He came to me yesterday, actually. I found him, actually. Sorry, I said it the wrong way. I had a disease known as liver disease, and I also lost God when I was 4, when I saw my father died, and certain terrible circumstances kept me away from him until last night. So it's all been within the last week that this miraculous changeover has happened in my life. I was to come to the encounter weekend. That's fine. You know, that's all good. I had a doctor's appointment that Friday, Friday morning. So I go to the doctors. I want to see my results. Has my illness come back? And how is it? And will I need more treatments? And he says, you're having the best results you can ever have. And I said, well, what do you mean? You're cured. Basically. And he doesn't need to see me again unless I have some condition with healing, continued healing. But not only is my liver, the disease gone, but the scarring that normally happens is healing. That evening, I come to the encounter Friday evening, and that was Friday. And then last night, like I come to Friday evening, and I'm trying to tell everyone, but we're going through it. So that next day, last night, we're here, and I'm sitting, and I still have been trying to find God again. I've been looking for God ever since I was 4. Like, the Catholic Church didn't help me, the different things, different organizations, Jehovah Witness wasn't anything. You know, all these things weren't working for me. I wasn't finding God. And last night, I was listening to the video on God is our Father and how he made us and how he created us and how he is our actual original, the dad who made us all, created everything. Amen, yes. And he told me he was my father. So I found my father after 54 years.
Praise God. Amen. And it's important to note that was incurable. That was a disease that the doctor was in shock, and they said, we don't know what to say. Isn't that awesome? Isn't God good? Amen. And, I mean, we could have a lot of testimony. Carla has a testimony. Would you come up here quickly and share what God has done? Amen.
Well, I found God in 2005, and I had my joy, and then over the last few years, it's been slowly stolen. I have let sin slowly seep into my life through the media. I listen to my Christian radio, but TV programs and magazines, I let them all in. They were slowly stealing my joy away. And the intimacy that I had with my husband, it was being stolen away until Friday night. When I came up to the altar and Pastor Sharon and Pastor Jacques placed their hands on me, and I felt the warmth that they passed from God through them to me, and I felt it just fly out the top of my head. And the joy that bubbled inside of me was so amazing. I have my joy back after way too long. And I have the love back from my husband that should have been there, that was stolen away, that I now have again because of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Isn't he good? The Bible says when the gospel was preached, there was great joy in the city. Amen. To church should be the happiest place in the world. I mean, we got the God of the universe living on the inside of us in the form of the Holy Ghost. I mean, we should be happy. We should be full of joy. Amen. The world should look and say, what is it you have? Amen. It's exciting to serve Jesus. It's awesome. Does anyone else have a testimony from the encounter? You just really want to just share God touched your life? You want to come up? Come on up, brother. Jonah has a testimony as well.
So when I was at the encounter, I had a little vision. And Pastor Travis was talking about breaking soul ties. And I pictured this piece of wood that was kind of rugged with these thin, rusty metal strips sticking out and attached to another piece and them just being snipped. And then Deborah asked me, what do you think that means? And I replied that the rusty metal is the soul ties that people have tried to bury by using other things. And the wood represents the person who is still struggling with those things. But they weren't. It wasn't cut straight down the middle. It was cut on one side because the one person chose to break those soul ties, but the other person on that side still had some trouble with them. So, yeah.
Isn't that awesome? God is good. Amen. Anybody else, quickly, before we got another one coming up, brother. I mean, everyone that was at the encounter was blown away. So I know God did awesome things.
Just wanted to tell the people that you really must experience an encounter. We were told to expect, but I'll tell you, reality far outstripped the expectations. You are brought to a place where you just never want to leave. We were talking about soul ties, and it brought me back to a time in my life where I was really having a problem, severe depression, and my mother passed away in 2009 for a period of about 18 months. I mean, I went through literal hell. I mean, I thought I was either going to die or lose my mind. You know, people don't know how strong these ties really are until you come out the other side. You know, it wasn't until Pastor Sharon and Janet and a couple of the ladies brought me into the office, and they explained to me what was going on in my life and told me that I had an unhealthy soul tie to my mother. And at first I thought, you know, are these people crazy? They're saying that you know, I have some kind of funny relationship with my mother. And no, it wasn't until afterwards I realized that it wasn't what they were trying to say to me. They were saying that I was taking my eye off of what I should have been focusing, which is God, and I was placing it on my mother. And it was due to the guilt that I had with my mother. You know, being a normal teenager, you did things in your life where you regretted and you wanted to take them back. my mother's death was kind of sudden, so I really didn't get a chance to prepare for it. So I went through a period where I was actually having physical manifestations of the problems with the soul ties. I had to be rushed from work 3 times by ambulance because I just literally dropped, gone. And it wasn't until the ladies explained to me and I broke those ties that I got back with my life.
Awesome. If you want to know more about soul ties, you got to come to an encounter. So, yeah. Anybody else? Come on up. Yeah. This is awesome.
Yeah, it was just such an amazing weekend, and it culminated last night with Janet Petrie. She overcame. She was sick as a dog and came here to minister. Praise God. God bless you, sister. And God really met her and saw her through. We just saw her go from green in the morning to pink by the time she had us pink. Literally, she was sick. And so praise God, and she overcame. But we were taught on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then we had a time of ministry and some dear ones. I think everybody that saw it did receive. And we did that a number of times, and it's always a privilege to minister in that way as leaders. But last night was so unusual because our mother in the house, one of them, Joan Jones, came up, and she has songs. God gives her songs in the Spirit. And she came up, and one of our dear ones was trying to experience a breakthrough speaking in tongues. And so I called Joan up, and Joan joined us. And we began to sing. Joan started to sing in the Spirit because this person, Jane, is a singer. And so she was able to receive her breakthrough and started singing. And the singing spread to everyone. And honestly, it's the first time I've heard angels sing a little bit. But last night, the angels joined us. And everybody here would testify to that. It was the place was filled. And just the heavenly chorus, I've never in my life experienced anything like that. And I heard them this morning, actually, with us this morning. It's just marvelous. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah.
Well, thank you. It's awesome. Hallelujah. Well, I know we could have 100 testimonies this morning, or at least 30 of them, so we're just going to keep moving this morning. If you turn with me your Bibles, and if we could put it up on the screen, Acts, and start recording the message if you haven't already. Acts chapter 26, starting in verse 14. Now, this is where Paul's recounting his conversion. And what I want to talk to you this morning about is your story, your testimony, okay? I want to talk about the power of your testimony. And it says here in verse 14, "And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both to the things which you have seen and the things in which I yet have to reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you,'" verse 18, "'to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me.'" All right? And so you need to realize something here. Paul is standing before King Agrippa. He's standing before royalty. And he's giving his story. Each and every one of us, if you've met Christ, if you've had a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you've been saved, you have a story. And your story is powerful. I know my brother Nathan, some of you know who he is. He's a preacher. He's got a church in Peterborough. And he said in the past, Travis has got a powerful testimony. Because he's, you know, fell so far from God, God was able to grab him and pull him out of the miry clay and bring him back. And I said to my brother, I said, no, you have a better testimony because you stood strong all the way through. You didn't resist. That, to me, is a more powerful testimony. For those who grew up and never fell away, like my wife, who grew up and just walked with God and stood against the temptation, she has a powerful testimony because instead of falling, she stood. Amen? And so you have a powerful testimony, even if you've never been taken from darkness, you still have a powerful testimony. You hear what I'm saying? But I want to talk about this story, because as Paul is sharing his testimony, it's very interesting that King Agrippa, his reaction to it is found in verse 28. So Acts chapter 26, verse 28. And then Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." Isn't that awesome? You almost persuade me, because your story has power. In the moment where you share your testimony, people have to decide either you're a lunatic, you're crazy, or you're telling the truth. Because I have something to say to you here that's very important in Acts chapter 22, verse 5. Acts chapter 22, verse 5. It says this. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourself also know." And this is very important, because people today don't know the way to go. Many people are on a spiritual journey. They're looking for truth. They're trying to find their identity. They're trying the New Age movement. They're trying Buddhism. They're trying all these world faiths. They're getting in, and they're just hungry to know the truth. But I love God, because he says, "I came and I attested." The word attest means to prove. All right? The word attest means to prove and to show off. So God came and said, "I'm going to show off that Jesus is the man for the hour." And he said, "Here he is." And through miracles, signs, and wonders, he brought the kingdom of God to men. And you know what? Even if you're a Christian who does, you know, you don't quite believe in miracles where someone gets healed, or you don't quite believe in the miracle, you're not there yet, you just don't believe that God could do the thing, you got a limiter on you. You have to at least admit, if you've become saved, God took away that evil desire in you to sin. He put his heart upon you. He put his spirit within you. Your desires change. Your appetites change. Does that make sense? And so something's happened on the inside. It's a miracle of God, and God did it, and you have a story. How many here have a story? Let me see this. Yeah. Okay. Well, I want to make this statement today that God's glory is in your story. You want to reveal the glory of God to another person? Tell your story. Tell your story. Because God's glory is in your story. And the Bible says that he wants to move us from glory to glory. So I want to rephrase that. God wants us to move from story to story. Every time you give your testimony of what God has done in your life, the miracles that took place, you know, to go and tell someone, "Listen, I used to do this, but I don't want to do it anymore because I'm in love with God. Something's changed on the inside. Once I was blind, but now I see. Things are different for me." Every time you tell your story, you're revealing God's glory. And then God says, "There's someone who's revealing my glory. I'm going to give them another story." And you move from one story to the next story, and you're living in glory, and you're throwing the glory of God around, and it's awesome. You want to see God move in your life? Start telling your story. That's why I had people come up this morning and share a little bit of their story, because in doing so, other people realize that, hey, God will do it for me if he's done it for them. And so I'm really excited about what God is doing. And I want to, if you'll turn with me to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. And we had an interesting experience. Camilla was, we went swimming one day as a family. We went to the swimming hall, and Camilla was with our little daughter, who's 3 years old, Sarah. And Sarah said, "Mommy," she said, "are we a story?" And Camilla was thinking about it before she got to answer. Sarah said, "Maybe God's reading us." Now talk about that's kind of cool. And Camilla came and told me, she goes, "You know what Sarah said? Sarah said, maybe we're a story, Mommy. is God reading us? And we both sat and we thought about that. Yeah. Because, you know, three-year-old girl, she loves story time. Oh, can you tell me a story, Dad? Mommy, can you tell me a story? She loves stories. And so we just thought it was really interesting because your life is a story for His glory. And, you know, when you share your story, it has the power to change situations. And looking at this chapter 9, I'm not going to read the whole passage, but this is talking about a man who was born blind. And Jesus met him on the Sabbath, and Jesus made some mud with a spit, and he put it upon the eyes of the blind man who had never seen before, and all of a sudden his eyes were opened when he washed his eyes. You guys are probably very familiar with the passage. He put clays on his eyes. And so what happened was the people gathered around and said, hey, hold on, you're the blind guy. What are you doing? He said, well, I can see now. And they were amazed because here's a man who was born blind. They didn't know what to do. So they said, we got to bring this man to the spiritual leaders of the day. So they brought him to the Pharisees. And we're going to start here in verse 13. We're going to read it together. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. And now it was the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Verse 15. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put clay on my eyes, I washed, and now I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. And others said, how can this man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them, because they didn't know what to think. And so what are they going to do? They're all confused, because here's a guy who was blind, but now he can see. So the Pharisees said, well, we've got to find out what's going on. Let's call his parents. They called in the parents. Verse 22. His parents said these things. Verse 23. And therefore his parents said, he is of age, ask him. Because his parents didn't want to really get involved with it because they might get kicked out of church. Well, we don't want to say anything. So ask him yourself. Verse 24. So they asked. They again called the man who was blind and said to him, give glory to God. Well, he was, but they missed the hour of their visitation. Because what they missed was the fact that God's glory is always revealed in our stories. And he came with a story saying, once I was blind, but now I see. He was giving God glory. And look what it says here in verse 25, and he answered and said, whether he's a sinner, this is a blind guy, or not, I don't know. But one thing that I know, once I was blind, but now I see. And I could say to people, listen, I don't know. I've had debates and I've studied, creationism and evolution. And I've studied different so that I can have intellectual arguments. But it always comes down at the end of the day. I'm sitting out in Queens University debating with professors and science students, and at the end, we sit there arguing, we're hitting heads, and when it comes down to it, I tell my story, and they're befounded, and they're like a King Agrippa. You can see it in their eyes. You're almost converting me. I got to get out of here. When you told me that you were depressed, and one day the depression left when you called out to Jesus, what do I do intellectually with that? When you say that you were addicted to alcohol, and you had to drink in order to fall asleep at night because your mind was racing because you had burnt out so much on LSD. And you can tell us that in one moment when someone prayed for you that this Jesus you talk about took it all away and it was like you were a new creature. What do people do with that? They kick you out of their life or they convert. But God's glory comes forth. Isn't that awesome? And so they kept pushing him, pushing him. They wanted some different answer, and he kept giving the same answer. Verse 27, he answered them and said, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why don't you hear? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? And then he started, you know, now they're getting mad because here's a guy preaching at them. And then they reviled him and said, you are his disciples, but we're Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses, for as for this fellow, we don't even know who he is. In verse 30, and the man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he's from, yet he opened my eyes. And we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God, he does his will, he hears him. And since the beginning of time, no one's ever opened the eyes of the blind, but this man has done it. And then they got mad and said, oh, you were just born in your sins. Oh, we're perfect, but you were born in your sins. Get out of here, and they kicked him out of church. But what happened was his story brought forth the glory of God. How many here have a story? Let me see your hand. Amen. And God wants us to share our story. Paul stood up and he said, this is my story. I was once a persecutor of the church. But Jesus, a light shone brighter than the sun, knocked me. God clotheslined me off my horse. I laid up and I looked up and I saw his glory, and my life was transformed, and he called me into the ministry. So bright was the light that I was blinded. There were scales upon my eyes, and he told his story. And people had to choose, is this God or is this a crazy man? But God's glory is wrapped up in our story. You know, the word glory means highly renowned or honor that's won by a notable achievement. When miracles happen, when hearts are, and the greatest miracle is salvation, when someone's heart is changed, when the Spirit of God comes and takes your heart of stone and makes it a heart of flesh, when he comes and touches you and with salvation, what that is a notable achievement. That's God's glory. The glory also means magnificent, great beauty. And it always is also the word they got the luminous ring or halo from. So God's glory will change you. It will transform you. It'll make you holy. And it's in your story. You know, the Bible says that we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of his glory. And you know, the greatest thing that breaks my heart is that the church has moved away. And I saw this come up. We talked about the messages on faith, but it said old time religion. How many saw that come up there? We put that slide back up if you have it there. Old time religion. And, it, you know, something's happened in society where we're afraid to talk about sin. The Bible says we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all made mistakes. We've missed the mark. And it's only in that place of realizing that, you know what? I'm not a good person. I might do good things, but in the core of my being as a person fallen and separated from God, I'm not good. And what God wants to do is he wants to restore fellowship, because before Adam and Eve sinned, they were holy, they were pure, they were covered with God's glory, they walked in fellowship with God. But after that, the Bible says we've all fallen short of his glory. And so the only way to be restored back to God, the only way to be restored back into relationship with God, the only way to deal with the darkness of our heart is through Jesus Christ and through his cross. Amen? He was nailed upon a cross. He took our place. It should have been us on that cross. Right? Because the payment for sin is death. And Jesus took the death penalty for us. And so I don't want to talk this too much this morning, because what I'd like to do, actually, I feel we really need to do that this morning, as we're going to have the worship team come up. You guys want to come back up? And we're going to worship him this morning. Okay? And as you're coming, just prepare to play. And the rest of you, I just want you to sit there for a second, because the Bible says that God is, he's reaching out and he's calling. He's reaching out and he's calling. Some of you in this place, you say, I want to make a decision to follow Jesus Christ. I want to accept that free gift of salvation. You're not good enough. There's nothing you can earn. The biggest thing I run into with people is they say, I can't give my heart to Christ because I got to deal with issues. No, it doesn't work that way. You can't deal with your sin on your own. That's the whole point. You need God to come and change you. Amen? The only thing you need to do is admit, hey, I'm a sinner. I've fallen from God, and I want to be washed. And he freely comes, and he gives us salvation. Amen? And so let's stand together this morning before we go into worship. I want to give people an opportunity this morning. If you don't know the Lord, you just start to play something. If you don't know the Lord, you've never known the Lord before, you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, I want to say this morning. He loves you. The Bible says God so loved the world. He saw the world was in sin. He saw the world was separated from him. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. So he's calling this morning. You say, how do I know, Pastor, if he's calling me? Your heart will be beating. Your heart will start to beat, and you'll say, like, that's me. He's talking to me this morning. And if God's talking to your heart, if you sense God is calling you to make a decision to follow him and to call upon his name, or if you've been backslid and you feel that you've walked away from the Lord, and say, I want to have a story. I want to have a life-changing story for his glory. I want you to come right now. Just come up to the front, and we're going to pray for you this morning. I want you to just be sensitive and come on up. Hallelujah. Just come and stand right here. I'm going to pray with you. I know the Spirit of God is moving on more hearts this morning. In Jesus' name. And this is awesome that you come right up like this. That shows that you don't care what people think. God can use that. That's boldness. There's more of you in this place this morning. God is calling you. He's saying it's time to make a decision to walk with Jesus. If that's you, I'm just going to give just 2 more minutes to get up here, and then we're going to close the altar. Come on up quickly, 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 quickly. God's talking to your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, that's fine. Wonderful. I want everyone to just stretch out your hands. We're going to pray with this couple here. I want you guys to pray this with me. Say, Heavenly Father. Everyone pray together, and especially those in the front. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I want him to be my Lord. Jesus, I invite you to live in my heart. Forgive me for my sins and make me holy and make me feel pure again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can I have just a couple women that were the encounter, leaders from that were at the encounter, just come up here. Marg, maybe, another woman. And Pastor Jacques, if you could pray here, that'd be, please. And just take a few minutes and pray with the ladies here. And awesome. So as you guys are getting prayer, just let God touch you. He loves you so much. If you knew how much he loved you, think about it. Would you take your firstborn, your only child, and nail them to the cross for the world? No. That's how much God loves us. He wasn't going to let us stay in our sin. And he's here this morning. He's ministering at the front here. And for the rest of us, we're going to go into worship. We're going to go into worship. And if anyone else wants prayer, you say, I'm just struggling for something, I just come to the front, we'll pray with you. But the rest of us, let's just focus on worshiping. We got 10 minutes before the service is done. Let's just press into Jesus. And listen here also. If you said that prayer and you didn't come up, but you said that prayer and you meant it for the first time, come up during the music. We're going to pray with you too, okay?
In awe.